we're standing at the North Terrace entrance of the Botanic Gardens. Originally, we'd be standing in paddocks. In 1855, when the Botanic Gardens first opened, it already had neighbours to the left, which was the new hospital, the Adelaide Hospital, and to the right was the Lunatic Asylum. And beside that was the old Adelaide Hospital that was opened in 1846. Due to overcrowding, they needed a new building, and they built the present Adelaide Hospital on the current site.
Now, there was a bit of a land swap, wasn't there, between the Botanic Gardens and the hospital?
Yes, in 1937 there was a land exchange organised between the hospital and the Botanic Gardens. The Royal Adelaide Hospital received a thin strip of land that the current East Wing is built on, and the Botanic Gardens received the whole of the Lunatic Asylum, including the old hospital site, about 8 acres in total.
When the old hospital closed and the Botanic Gardens were developed, what happened to all the buildings that were on this site?
They were demolished, leaving just a few that we'll be seeing today, including the East Lodge, Yarrabee House and the morgue.
Let's go and have a walk then. Where are we heading first, Margot?
We're now walking along the North Terrace wall, heading towards the Nurses' Memorial Tree for nurses who served during World War II. Overall, 71 nurses died during the Second World War. Of those, 10 came from South Australia and 7 were from the Royal Adelaide Hospital. The largest loss of nurses was on the SS Viner Brook. They either died when the ship was sunk, or they survived but then were shot by the Japanese on Banker Beach. Another loss of life was on the medical ship Centaur that sunk off the coast of Queensland. In the chapel in the Royal Adelaide Hospital, there's a memorial wall to nurses who have died while serving at the Royal Adelaide Hospital.
Margot, we're continuing to head east on the inside of the North Terrace wall at the Botanic Gardens. And where are you taking us now?
We're just going to stop by First Creek, where I'll talk to you about the wall. During the time of the Lunatic Asylum, on the other side of the wall, we'd hear the horses pulling the trolley cars to and from along North Terrace. If the nurses were in uniform, they were able to travel free from the hospital down to the Lunatic Asylum. When the gardens were first established, there was only a thin wooden fence between the two institutions. They were often quarrelsome neighbours, not seeing eye to eye. The gardens used to complain about the demonic shrieks and howls coming from the Lunatic Asylum and the impure water floating down First Creek. Now, I'll talk about the impure water a little further along at the morgue. On the other hand, the Lunatic Asylum used to complain about the smoke from burn-off floating across the gardens, and also the two inquisitive visitors peering over the fence. By the mid-1860s, a brick wall was built, which is what we can see now, to encompass the whole site and dividing the gardens and the Lunatic Asylum. We're now on what was called Lunatic Hill. When the buildings were demolished, this was now all grass, and there's one large, I think it's a fig tree, that was on top of Lunatic Hill, and it was a great place for picnics.
Margot, as part of our walk around, we've now arrived at East Lodge.
That's right. It was built in 1865 as the residence of the head keeper.
Of the asylum.
Of the asylum, the Lunatic Asylum. He was in charge of the male patients, and he had 9 male attendants under him. His wife was the matron, and she had 6 nurses helping her look after the female patients. The building's built of Glen Osmond stone, and it had a slate roof. The nurses lived a simple life. They had one night off per week and one day off per month. Their rooms were scattered throughout the Lunatic Asylum, and even when they're finished for the day, they were compelled to remain in their rooms on passive duty. After the Lunatic Asylum moved out to Parkside, it was used as a TB clinic for some time.
From where we're standing here at the East Lodge, where was the Lunatic Asylum itself?
Directly ahead of us. I'll take you straight down to the plaque and show you.
Margot, there's not a lot to see where the Lunatic Asylum once stood.
No, unfortunately, it's all been bulldozed. Built in 1852, the asylum comprised of a central wing, a central portion with 2 wings, one for male and one for female. Inside the central section was a surgery, a committee room, and a receiving room. And out the back in a separate building was the scullery, kitchen and laundry. There was only room for 12 male patients and 12 female patients. So very early on there was lots of crowding, and to keep up with the need, the government built more and more buildings on the site. As South Australian records of mental health go back to 1841, when there were already 12 inmates being kept in the jail. So a need was there was a need to build a lunatic asylum. So in 1870, Parkside Lunatic Asylum was opened, and this lunatic asylum was used as a admitting facility and taking some chronic patients. The overflow of chronic patients and the criminally insane went out to Parkside. There were extensive gardens and orchards down Hackney Road all the way down to Plaintree Drive.
Was it a fairly big building then?
It was quite imposing. It was made out of brick with lattice windows and delicate timber verandas. And over the years, the site grew and grew and grew as the demand for beds became available. The lunatic asylum was actually closed in 1902. The hospital used it as an infectious diseases ward. The nurses used to call it ISO, short for isolation. In 1938, the building was demolished.
Margot, we're right behind the National Wine Centre now.
Yes, and it's where the plaque for where we think the old hospital, the original Adelaide Hospital, stood. After the lunatic asylum closed in 1902, the old hospital was used as a consumptive and cancer block. It was staffed by a few nurses and a steady stream of probational nurses. They felt that it was a trial being this far away from the hospital. However, the food more than made up for it. We think that was because they used to use the gardens from the old lunatic asylum. It had lovely fresh fruit and vegetables. In 1910, the daily average occupied beds was 274. Of those, 97 were TB and 68 were typhoid. So 97 of those patients were down in the consumptive ward.
Continuing our walk through the Botanic Gardens now, looking at some of the old Royal Adelaide Hospital sites with Margot Way, the manager of the Royal Adelaide Hospital Heritage Office. Where are we heading now?
Heading towards the morgue or dead house.
A bit of a sad looking building all on its own, isn't it?
It is. It was built in 1882 and constructed of Yatla stone, cast iron ventilators and a sloping floor with a drain in the middle. Remember earlier I mentioned impure water. When a post-mortem was carried out in the dead house, the remains were flushed down the central drain, then which drained into First Creek, which in turn flowed through the Botanic Gardens. In the late 19th century, the coroner at the time, Sir William Ramsay Smith. Now, he was an interesting fella. He came out from the UK in 1896 during the hospital row when all the medical staff had resigned. Because he took up this position against professional advice, he was person non grata by the medical staff. However, within 3 years, he was the coroner, the anatomy inspector, the chairman of the health board, and was also the state's medical expert in murder trials. In 1903, the government instituted a inquiry into his behaviour as a coroner. Amongst those things alleged against him was that he would bring his .303 rifle to the mortuary and practice on the corpses in there. He also used to keep plaster casts in the mortuary to replace body parts that he took. He is now believed to be one of the biggest single donors of body parts to British institutions over a 15-year period, and they included a lot of Aboriginal body parts. In 1938, when the Botanic Gardens took over this land, they actually built a children's wading pool up against the dead house. However, it wasn't popular and didn't last very long.
I wonder why.
Ghosts from the past.
Margot, we've walked up from the old morgue back towards the National Wine Centre and a lovely old stone building.
Yes, these were the original stables for Yarrabee House. They used to hold the horses and the coaches for the resident medical officer. It also had a carpenter shop and a tailor shop that was used both for the lunatic asylum and the infectious diseases block.
Margot, another magnificent building on the corner of Hackney Road and North Terrace.
This is Yarrowby House. It was built for the resident medical officer, built in 1866. In 1905 to 1915, it was used as by the British Nursing Association as the headquarters and also a home for private duty nurses. Robert Walters Moore was the medical superintendent from 1858 to 1866, and he introduced moral therapy to the asylum, where he tried to improve the patient's moral fibre using care, sympathy, religious instruction and fruitful occupation. He also built a seclusion room or padded cell, however it was never used for that purpose during his time here. The next superintendent was Alexander Stewart Patterson. He was medical superintendent from 1858 until 1884. Now his focus was on the medical needs of the patient, often to the detriment of their physical and emotional well-being. During Patterson's era, the recovery rate dropped dramatically. Before 1866, there was a 60% recovery rate. During Patterson's era, there was only a 40%.
Margot, I wonder how many people realise the history that's in the Botanic Gardens linked to the Royal Adelaide Hospital.
Not many people do. I find it fascinating.